Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Gittin Daf Yud Dalet. We're learning today Le'ilu Nishmas Avram Yanovsky, Avram Shmuel Ben Simcha Aryeh. May all the Rishonim we learn from have an Aliyah from all learning. We begin today's share on Yud Dalet of Amud Aleph, 11 lines from the top with the words Oma Le Rav, the Rav Acha Bardala. Rav said to Rav Acha Bardala, Kaba de Morika Isli Gaboch. I have a kav, a certain measure of morika. Morika is normally translated as saffron. It's a certain type of relatively inexpensive material. So Rav told him, you have of mine in your possession, Isli Gaboch, this kav's worth of morika. I want you to go and give it Yahweh Liploni. This is a din of my much shloshim that we learned in yesterday's shir. So Rav is telling Rav Acha Bardala that you have a certain amount of very inexpensive material, a kav's worth of this saffron in your possession that's mine. I want you to go give it to Levi, give it to the third party. And ba'apei kamina loch delo hadrina bay. And I'm also telling you right now, while that Levi is here, that I'm not going to retract. In other words, even if I tell you, no, don't give it to him, I've authorized you to give it to him, and I cannot retract. So more questions, and says, what do you mean he cannot retract? If he hadn't said, I will not retract, he would be allowed to retract? Michal di boy hader bay? What's he hader bay? In other words, you seem to be saying that if Rav had not said, I will not retract, then he would in fact be allowed to retract. But that's not true. This din of Maimat Shloshtan basically is a absolute kinyan. And therefore, the minute Reuven says to the Shimon, in this case Rav Acha Bardala, that possession of mine that you have, I want you to go give it to Levi, so it's a done deal. It's as if it belongs to Levi. You cannot retract. So what's Rav saying? I promise you I will not retract. He's not allowed to retract. So Gemara says, Hachimor, this is what Rav meant. This is an explanation. Devarim halalu, this din of Maimat Shloshtan, lo nitnu l'chazora. That, not that I'm telling you I will not retract. By the fact that I did this Maimat Shloshtan, I'm unable to retract. The din is if it's already given over to Levi. Now, why did Rav have to reiterate this din? He already taught it to us once. Oh, my Rav, already taught us this one time. Chodosim, the Rav already taught us this din. The Amar Rav, who no, Amar Rav, Rav, who not said the name of Rav? Mono libiyotcho, I have, Reuven says to Shimon, I have given you something, you have something of mine in your possession, and if this was done in the presence of the third party, if Reuven, who gives something to Shimon, then tells Shimon, you go give that to Levi, and all three of them are there, Reuven's there, Shimon's there, Levi's there, that's the kinyan of Maimon Shloshtan, and that effectuates the kinyan. You don't need to do anything else, and you cannot retract it. So Rav already taught us that you can't retract it. Why is now Rav in this kaba, the kav's worth of saffron, why is he telling us this then again? So the Gemara says, Imeahi, if we only had the first statement that Rav Huna said in the name of Rav, you know what I would have said? Imeahi, if I only had that, Havamina, I would have said, Hani Mili, I would have said that it only applies Matana Meruba. If you're dealing with something substantial, a big gift, then you need to have everybody present and you can't retract it. That shows you the significance of this Maimut Shloshtan. But, Abol Matana Muetes, like this Kav's worth of the saffron, this Kaba de Morika, that's a little small amount. I would have said, Bematana Muetes, lowly boy Befana. You could even do this Maimut Shloshtan without the third party being there. You could just tell Shimon, listen, that Kav of saffron that I have of mine in your possession, go give it to Levi. And even if Levi's not there, I might have thought you're not allowed to retract it. So therefore, Rav is being mechadish to us over here. No, Kamash Ralan, that only when all three parties are there, does this din of Maimut Shloshtan apply. But if all three parties are not there, even if it's something inexpensive, the din doesn't apply. Similarly, we have another Maisa. Hano Ginoy, there were these gardeners. The Ovid, Chushbino Bahadi Adadi, they're all working and harvesting the crops on a certain person's land, let's say. So they were all some sort of sharecroppers. And they had to pay the owner of the land a certain amount of money. And each of them had a percentage that they owed the owner. So they were making a calculation. The Ovid, Chushbino, they figured out, Bahadi Adadi, with each other, who owed what to the owner of the land. And they figured it out that one of the gardeners was a little bit overpaid, so to say, and he has to give back some money to the owner of the land. Posh Chamesh Istere Zuze Gabi Chad Minayu. That they calculated out, and one of the gardeners, let's say the five gardeners there, so gardener number one had been overpaid from the vegetables they had sold, or from however they were getting the money together, and he had to go in return five of these Istere Zuze, a certain type of coin, to the owner of the land that they were gardening on, and they told him, Amri Leh, the other gardener said to this gardener they got overpaid, so this was going to be a Maimut Shloshtan type of a situation, because their money, so to say, was in the hands of this single gardener. So they're like Reuven, he's like Shimon, and the gardener is going to have to go. This is gardener B is going to have to go and give to the owner of the land the extra money. So Amrilei, they told him, Yavinu Nialei Lemari Ara, Biape Mari Ara, the owner of the land was there. So the other gardeners told this single gardener who was overpaid, go and take the money that we overpaid you and go give it to the owner of the land. And in addition to this kinyan of Maimud Shloshtan, the owner of the land that was there made a kinyan chalipin on that money. V'kadamine, so he did an additional kinyan, and the money that was in this single gardener, the extra five istere zuzeh that were in his possession, there was a kinyan chalipin on it in addition to the kinyan of Maimud Shloshtan. Okay, everybody was fine, everybody's happy. However, the individual gardener who seemed to have the extra five zuzeh in his possession subsequently went over the math again. The Sof Azal, he went, Ovad Chushbino Bein Dilei L'Nafshe, and he looked into the finances, and he saw that actually they made a mistake. And Tosus pointed out, he pointed it out to them, and Tosus Dibra Masra V'lo Poshka Bei V'lo Midi says, Pishu Ben Chanan O'chen Rebein Otam, Shayu Bale Dinim Modim Lo. Everybody agreed. Yeah, Taka, we had made an original mistake. The extra five Zuzu that we said, where were you? We'd actually made a mistake. We forgot some sort of a calculation. So he saw that there was a mistake in the original calculation. He made a Chushbino, he did a calculation, originally to himself, then he pointed out to the others and they admitted he was right. And he said, I don't really owe you guys anything. I wasn't given an extra five istere zuze. We all paid evenly and I wasn't given anything extra. Now, he wants to get his money not to have to give to the owner of the land. He doesn't want to pay him the five istere zuze that he seemingly had gotten extra, but two kinyanim had been made on it, the kinyan of Maimon Shloshtan and the kinyan of Chalipin that the owner had made. So he went to Rav Nachman to ask him, what should he do? Also coming to Rav Nachman, he went to Rav Nachman and told him what happened, but he didn't tell him the whole story. He just said, I owe this person, the owner of the land, supposedly I owe him five istere zuze, but I don't. So Amalei, so Rav Nachman said, well, listen, what can I do? My yavloch, I can't help you out over here. Why? Number one, chada, because we have the din of Maimon Shloshtan that we just learned. The Amar Rav Huna, Amar Rav, that the din of Maimon Shloshtan is kone. So he was kone via the din of Maimon Shloshtan. And furthermore, oh, ha kanu minach, he made a kinyan chalipin to get the money from you. So he has two kinyanim that money belongs to him. Sorry, Charlie, you have to go and give him the money. Amalei Rav, Rav says to Rav Nachman, wait a second, you don't know all the facts over here. He goes to Rav Nachman, he says, Otu, hi, is this person, this gardener who supposedly was given the five extra zuzim, is that really the story? Me, Kamar Lo Yehivna, is he saying, no, I refuse to give the money? He's saying, Deleka Gabai Kamar. He's saying they made a mistake, and they all agree that they made a mistake. Tosus points out, if they don't agree, then he was already mowed, then he can't go back on that. But they all agreed that it was a mistake. So therefore, this is a toast. And that's what Rav tells Rav Nachman, it's a toes. Or Rav Nachman says, if it's a toes, Amalei, Im Kain, Kinyan B'tosu, V'chol Kinyan B'tos Chose. Oh, if those are the facts, and everybody's agreeing that it was a mistake, so then, of course, he could have made 100 Kinyanim. If the Kinyanim were made in error, so they're not valid Kinyanim. And therefore, this gardener, who supposedly was given the five extra istere zuze, in fact, was not given extra, therefore, the Kinyan Maimon Shloshtan, the Kinyan Chalipin that were made were Kinyanim B'tos, and they don't apply, and he doesn't have to go and pay them the money. Mark continues, says the following shalom says the base medrash, Itmar, Holech Mone Leploni Shani Chayev Lo. What is the halacha if a person goes and tells the Shaliach, listen, you have a mana of mine in your possession. Reuven tells Shimon, you have a mana of mine in your possession. So in this situation, I want you to go and take that money and give it to Levi, who I owe money to. So again, we have a Reuven, Shimon, and Levi situation over here. Reuven tells Shimon, that money that you have of mine in your possession, again, nobody's doubting the facts over here. So Reuven really has given Shimon a money, and he goes and tells Shimon, instead of paying me back, go and pay it to Levi. So what is the halach in terms of retracting? So Amar Rav, Rav says, Chaya Bachriyu. So in addition to not being able to retract, in Bolach Zareno Choser, you can't go and retract, but let's say somehow something happens to Shimon on the way to give it to Levi, armed robbers attack him, and even if he's a Shomer Socher, he doesn't have to go and pay for Onsen. Onsen is armed robbers, for example, and therefore Shimon can say, listen, I'm potter from paying Levi. So who is responsible to pay Levi? Reuven. Reuven still has responsibility. So Rav says, Reuven has achrayus. Until that money gets into Levi's possession, Reuven still owes the money to Levi, even though he gave it to Shimon, and Shimon agreed to give it to Levi. So number one, there's an achrayus for the payment that Reuven owes Levi, even if he gave it to Shimon. It's still the achrayus on Reuven. And he can't retract if he sees that, oh, maybe Shimon's not the best guy to go and bring the money to him. I'd like you to give me the money back. No, Shimon, so to say, already acquired it on behalf of Levi, and it can't be retracted, even though he has no achrayus on it, and it doesn't yet belong to Levi. He wasn't a shaliach of Levi, but he's enough of a shaliach of Levi that Reuven can't retract in this situation. Again, Rav is telling us that in this Maimon Shloshtan situation, Reuven is still responsible for the money until it gets into Levi's hand, and he cannot retract it once he gave it to Shimon to go and give to Levi. Even though Shimon has no responsibility for it, Reuven retains responsibility, and despite the fact that Reuven retains responsibility, he's not allowed to retract. Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel Amar, yes, I agree with you that he's chayiv in paying Levi. If Shimon doesn't pay Levi, so then Reuven's still obligated to pay Levi. But since there is this chayiv in paying Levi, so therefore, since Reuven is responsible still to pay Levi, he does have the right to retract and say, Shimon, you're not the best person to be the shaliach over here. I want to give it to Yehuda, somebody else to be the shaliach. And therefore, Reuven has the right in Bol Achzer, if he wishes to retract, to tell Shimon, give me back the money and I'll get it to Levi in another way. Chozer. He has the right to do so. So both Rav and Shmuel agree that Reuven is ultimately still responsible until it gets into the hands of Levi. But Rav says he cannot retract. Shmuel says he can retract. And Shmuel, as we'll see ultimately, since there's this achrayis, that's why he can retract. And Rav says, despite the fact that there's achrayis, he's not allowed to retract. So that's what the Gemara says. Let us suggest this is exactly what the machlokas is. This is what Rav and Shmuel are arguing about. Rav holds the Maris Sovar. Some actually have the gear. So Rav Ovar Sovar. Instead of Demar Sovar, in any event, Demar Sovar, Rav holds, Holech, when he says, Reuven says to Shimon, go and bring this to Levi, Kizchi Domi, it's as if Levi acquired it, not to the extent that Reuven wouldn't be responsible for it, but he can't retract. So Holech, when you say, Shimon, go give this to Levi, it's as if Levi was koneh to a certain extent, and therefore Reuven can't retract. And that's called Holech Kizchi Domi. Whereas Shmuel disagrees. Umar Sovar Shmuel holds Holech Lav Kizchi Domi. No, bottom line is, it does not belong to Levi until Levi actually gets it. And therefore, since it doesn't belong to Levi, so Reuven still has the right. He's responsible for it. He has the right to retract. Holech Lav Kizchi Domi. Where it says, lo, lav dafki, you can't necessarily set up this machlokas between Rav and Shmuel as to it being a machlokas of holech kischi dami versus holech not kischi dami, lav kischi dami. Lo, why not? Because in fact, the kuli amma, both Rav and Shmuel hold holech kischi dami. When Reuven tells Shimon, go give it to Levi, it's as if Levi, to a certain extent, is considered in possession of it already, and therefore, if that was the case, Reuven could not retract. But here, Shmuel said he can retract, so it can't be talking about holech kizchi dami, and not because everybody holds holech kizchi dami, and yet Shmuel says you can retract. So what are they arguing about then? What is the machlokas Rav Shmuel? This is what they're arguing about. Mar Savar, Rav holds, lo amrinon migu. We don't say, since I'm responsible, I'm allowed to retract. We don't say that. That's called amigu. If I say this, then I have to say that as well. So no. We don't say over here, according to Rav, since I'm going to be responsible, I have the right to retract. Whereas Shmuel holds, yes, Umar Savar Armina Migu. We do say this Migu. Since I'm responsible, I have the right to retract. And that's what they're arguing about. They're not arguing about Holech Kischi Dami. In fact, everybody agrees, under normal circumstances, Holech Kischi Dami. And I'll show you, the Gemara says that Rav's opinion is right, because Tanya Kavasi the Rav, we have a Brice in support of Rav. What is the Brice? The Brice says, Holech mona leploni, shani chayevlo, if Reuven says to Shimon, that money that you have in my possession, I want you to go give it to Levi. Or, he says, ten mona leploni, shani chayevlo, or, go and give this money that I owe Levi to Levi. Or, he says, Holech mona leploni, pikado sheish lo biyadi, go and take this money, which I have as a pikado in my hands, I want you to go and give it to Levi. Or, ten mona leploni, pikado sheish lo biyadi, or, go and give Levi this money that I have as a pikado, go and give it to Levi. In all of these situations, until it actually comes into the possession of Levi, Shimon is not responsible, Reuven is responsible. There is no obligation on Shimon that he took. The obligation remains. Reuven has to get it to Levi, and until it actually gets to Levi, Reuven is responsible. However, the Imbol Achzer in the Chozer, the price says exactly like Rav, even though Reuven has this responsibility, this achrayis, he doesn't have the right to retract. Oh, that's exactly Rav Shita, Tanya Kavosi de Rav. We have a Brisa in support of Rav. More questions, as it says, but you're dealing here with a pikadon. You're dealing with something that maybe the owner doesn't want to have in Shimon's hand. So therefore, how can Rav go and give it to Shimon because maybe the owner doesn't want Shimon to have it. So maybe Rav does have the right to retract. So bikadon, since it's a bikadon lemele, why don't we say, ein ritzono don't know biyad acher? Maybe Levi doesn't want that bikadon to be in Shimon's hand. He doesn't necessarily trust Shimon. So maybe Reuven doesn't have the right to go and do this. So Shimon says, no. Levi's only too happy to have it in Shimon's hands. He would like it in anybody's hands but Reuven. Amar Rabbi Zera, Zera says, kishuhuchsach kafron. Here we're dealing with, Reuven has already established himself to not be the most trustworthy, reliable person. So you can't say that Levi doesn't want this pikadon to be in Shimon's hands. He'd rather have it in Reuven's hands. No, he would want it in anybody but Reuven's hands. And that's why you don't have this concern over here that he should say, Ein ritzono shei pikdono biyad acher. No, he'd rather have it in anybody else's hands other than Reuven, because Reuven is established over here in this situation. Huchsach kafran. He has established himself as not a trustworthy person. He's not the person that you'd want to have this pikadon in. As Rashi says, bipikadon, with this pikadon, danan sade, we can all attest. The nichalei lebalav sheyetzi mitachas yodo. Everybody agrees that Levi would rather have it in Shimon's hands rather than in Reuven's hands because of Reuven's prior history. Another ma'aseh shaya, Rav Sheshes Havilei Asharta Desarbalei B'mechuzah. Asharta is like a credit. He was owed money for a Desarbalei. Rashi says a foreign word over here. He calls it coat. And in the Laz and Rashi, they say that this coat means an eel or a beged. So we'll call it a coat, a cloak of some sort. And Rav Sheshes had given these people coats. It was a business transaction. These people in Mechuza, that were in the town of Mechuza, he gave them coats on credit. They sold the coats, and he was entitled to his cut. So let's say he'd give them 10 coats, and they sold it for $100, and they were going to split the profits. So they owed him 10 times 50. They owed him $500. So Rav Sheshes had no way of collecting that debt from Mechuza until he said, somebody's going to Mechuza. Go bring me back the money that's owed to me, those asharta, that credit that I have for these coats that were sold in Mechuza. Go bring me back my money. So that's what the Gemara says. Rav Sheshes Havilei Asharta Desarbalei Mechuza. He had a credit for these coats that he was owed $500, let's say, for these coats that were in Mechuza. So he wanted to get the money back. Amalei L'Rav Yosef Bar Chama. He said to Rav Yosef Bar Chama, "Nu, I know you're going to Mechuza. When you come back, Bahadei the Osis, when you're on your way back, I sinu nihali, go and to those coat merchants, go to those people that I had given the coats on credit for. They sold the coats and get me my share. Get me my $500 from those coats from Mechuza." Oh. Rabbi Yosef Bar Chama was a good person, Ozel. He went there and he met up there with the people that sold the coats, and Yavinu Le, and they're all Erlich people, honest people, and they said, "Sure, here's the $500, go and deliver it back to Rav Sheshes." After they gave him the money, Amile, they said to him, "Nu, make a kinyan with us on the money. Nikne minech, make a kinyan with us." Rashi says, "Unso de Archa, make a kinyan with us that if you, in fact, are waylaid on the road and you get the money is taken from you, or something happens to the money, di misnasi minoch, if you're the onus, you'll be responsible and not us. Lo lihadur l'tovan, make a kinyan with us that you'll be responsible and not us. After all, you're taking the money, we're trusting you to take the money. Make a kinyan with us that in case something happens, you will owe Rav Sheshes the money and he's not going to be able to come back to us because we gave you the money in good faith." So that's what they told this person, Rav Yosef Bar Chama, who was returning with the money back to Rav Sheshes, where Rav Sheshes lived. And he said, Rav Yosef Bar Chama said, "Oh, yeah, fine, no problem, in." However, Kenaz said, Rashi says, "I will do that," but he didn't want to do that, and he ultimately left without doing it. Lesov, he finally left there, ishtamet lehu. He didn't actually make a kinyan with them, and therefore, he did ultimately bring the money back and gave it to Rav Sheshes, but he didn't technically have the liability for it. He didn't have the achrayus on it, and if he had been waylaid, if he had lost the money in a way that was an ones, so he then would not have been responsible to it, and Rav Sheshes could have gone back to the people in Mechuza, the coat merchants in Mechuza, and gotten his money back. And when Rav Yosef Bar Chama came back to Rav Sheshes and told him the story, he told Rav Sheshes what happened. So Rav Sheshes told him in the first version, "Amalei, shatir avadata, you did a good thing." Why? Because b'lo shavis nafshech, you didn't make yourself into a person who is falling into what it says in Mishlei, eved loveh lishmalveh, that the person who borrows money becomes an eved to the person who lent them the money. In other words, you would have gained nothing personally by taking this responsibility, but now you would have been subservient to them, so to say, and that they no longer are responsible for the money, and you would be. They were the ones that should have been responsible for it, not you. You were doing everybody a favor. You were saving them the trouble of having to go to give the money to Rav Sheshes in Rav Sheshes' hometown, and you shouldn't be held liable for it. That's the first version. So he said, you didn't make yourself into an eved lova in this situation, liish malve. That's what Rashi says in the first shot over here. Shelo shibadeto atzmoch al chinam. You didn't make yourself having a chayis over here for no reason whatsoever. If you're eved, and you become an eved to them, so to say. That's the first version. The Gemara gives a second version, Lishna Achrina. A second version over here is Shaper Vadata. Again, Rosh Hashanah told him you did great because Eved Lovel Ishmaba, they are the ones that borrow the money. And they're subservient to me, so to say, you shouldn't have to get involved with it. It's their responsibility to get me the money. However they do it, it's their responsibility until I get the money back. And therefore, Rashi explains the second version over here, Lishna Garas, Shaper Vadata, that you did a great thing, Shaper Vadata. Love ish malve kolomar shaper vadato dishtamet lufi shehein lovin viavodim li loviu li dachuyusin. It was their problem, their obligation to go get me the money, and you were smart in not stepping in and removing that obligation from them. They were the eved love to the malve that I gave them the money. Okay. More continues us another ma'isoya. Rav Achi bar Yosha have a late ispika de kaspa. Ispika Rashi says is a kli. So Rav Acha of Rav Yosha had a certain silver vessel, kasba silver, in the city of Nadoi, where he didn't live. So we turn to Yudalit Amid Beis. He wanted to get that silver vessel back. So Amalu, he tells Rav Dustoi by Rav Yanai. Rav Dustoi, who was the son of Rav Yanai, and another person who was with him, Rav Yosef Bar Kippur. He tells these two Tamidei Chachamim that we're going to Nardoi anyway. No, when you come back, Bahadei Dasisu, on your way back, Aisu Niali, go bring me back my silver vessel, my silver cup that I have over there. No, they went. Also, Yavi Niali, they went to the people in Nardoi that had his silver vessel, and they took it back. So Amiluo, the people gave him back the silver vessel, and they said, no, now make a kinyan, nikne minaychu, make a kinyan chalipin, that you will be responsible. You will take achrayis. If somebody goes and rips you off for this silver vessel on your way back, he can't come to us and ask us to pay for the silver vessel. You are now going to be responsible. So Amalu, both of them said, no, we're not willing to do that. We're willing to do a favor, but we're not willing to take responsibility for this silver vessel. We'll do a favor, but we're not taking responsibility. So Amrile, so these people in Ardoi said, well, if you're not willing to take responsibility, give me back the cup and we'll get into some other way. So Adre Nialom, they said, give us back the silver cup. So Rav Dustoi, Rav Yanei, Amalu in. Rav Dustoi said, no problem. Here it is. I'm willing to give it back to you. However, Rav Yosef Bar Kippur, in accordance with what we just learned, Amalu lo said, no, I'm not mechuyev to give it back to you. Like Rav had said, you can't retract. This is like the equivalent of the Maimon Shloshtan. You don't have the right to retract. You gave it to us. We're going to bring it back, but we're not taking responsibility for it. Now, these people for Nardoi were tough guys, and therefore they said, you know, if you don't give it back, we're going to break your kneecap. Havu kometzarule. They gave physically. They hurt Rav Yosef Bar Kippur. They said, yeah, we're going to give you a lot of pain unless you give it back to us. But he held his ground, and he said, I'm not giving it back. So Amrule, they said to Rav Dustoi, who had agreed to give it back, they said to him, Chazim Mar Hechi Ko'ovit. So they said to Rav Dustoi, look at what Rav Yosef Bar Kippur is doing. He's not returning it to us. So that's what they told Rav Dustoi. How come Rav Yosef Bar Kippur is not returning it to us? So Amrule, so Rav Dustoi tells him, Gezuntehei, give him another zetz. Tav Ramu Le. It's Rashi says, Harbe Ko. Yeah, give him another zetz. That's what Rashi said from his Rebbe, Loshen Mori. Or alternatively, Lishon Achrina, he says, Tav Ramu Le. Yofer Ru'uyo Samachos Lo. Yeah, he deserves it. Now, this is obviously very perplexing. How could Rav Dustoi say this? In any event, Rav Yosef Bar Kippur held his ground and did not give them back the silver cup. And eventually, he brings with Rav Dustoi the silver cup back to the original owner, to Rav Achi Bar Yosha. Nope, they get back there. And when they get back to Rav Achi Rav Yosha, so Amale, Rav Yosef Kippur says to Rav Achi Rav Yosha, Chazi Mar, Lo Mistayed, Lo Misayed, Ella, Amalu, Nami, Tav Romale. Look what Rav Dustoi did to me. Not only did he not help me, but he said, give him another zetz. What's going on? So Rav Achi Rav Yosha says to Rav Dustoi, no, what was going on? Amale, am I to Yavid Hachi? Why did you say, give him another zetz? Why didn't you help him out? So Amale, he said, Rav Dustoi, he said, those guys are very tough guys. They were very big guys. Osam b'nei Adam, those people in Nardoi that you gave your silver cup to? Hey, Na'ama, they're big, tough guys. They're Amos tall, multiple Amos tall. And Ama is, 1.5 to 2 feet. So they're 6 foot tall. They're big, tough guys. Hey, Na'ama, they're tall. The Kovod Ama, and they wear very scary hats. Rashi explains over here, the Kovod Ama means Af Malbusheim. They wear scary clothing, right? And they speak from the middle of their bodies. Rashi explains over here that this is talking about Klomar, colon over. They're very thick, voices, dangerous voices. The near adibur, it's as if the voices come out, yotzei mitibur, from their middle of their body. So they're scary guys. Ushmoseya mivuholin, and they have scary names. Their names mean different types of wild animals. Arda, the arta, upili bereish, these are various types of wild animals, Mefarshim explained, and they scared me to death. And when they say Omrim Kifosu, when they say tie somebody up, Kosen, everybody listens and ties that person up. And if they say Omrim Harogo, and if they say kill somebody, Hargan, their bodyguards go and kill people. So Ilu Hargo is Dusai, and if they had killed me, me Nosan Liani Abba Bar Kamosi, who would have given my father another son like me? In other words, I was terrified for my life, and therefore I had a head to go and say, yeah, give him another Zetz. Amalei Rav Achi Bar Yosha says to him further, really? How scary were they? B'nei Adam Halalu Krovi L'Malchus Hein? Do they have government connections? Are they the government, so to say, looks the other way with everything that they do? The government supports what they do? Amalei Hein, yeah, he says, yeah, those are tough guys. They're very well connected, tough guys. He asked them further, Yeshlam Susan Ufradam Shirwasim Acharev, do they have horses and mules? They run after them. In other words, they're very, very prestigious people. They have a big entourage always going with them. Amalei Hein, yeah, he said, yeah, they're tough guys. And they're very well connected, and they are highly respected by everybody. Nobody starts up with them. So, bottom line is, Rav Achi Bar Yosha said to him, okay, take it. In that situation, then you had the halachic right to go do so. You weren't obligated to go give up your life over here or to put yourself in danger for the return of this silver cup.
Gemara continues and says, Holech mona leploni. If a person goes to his agent, he goes to his shaliach, Reuven goes to Shimon and says, take this, holech mona leploni, take this mona that I have and give it to Levi. V'holak u'biksho v'lo mitzo. Now, Shimon went dutifully to find Levi, but he couldn't find Levi. Levi had died, and therefore Levi wasn't around. So what does the shliach do with the money? There's two options. He can give it to one of the yarshim of Levi, or he returns it back to Reuven. If Reuven's not alive, he would return it back to Reuven's yarshim. So the machlokas in the brisa says as follows. Tonicha, the one brisa says, Yachzru la mishaleach. You go and bring it back to the mishaleach. In other words, you bring it back to Reuven. If Reuven's alive, you give it back to him because you couldn't do the shlichas that you were asked to do to give it to Levi because Levi had died. B'tani yidach, the other brisa says, however, no. Liyorshe mi shenishtalchulo. No, you were supposed to give it to Levi. You're not supposed to return it to Reuven. And therefore, you go give it to Levi's yorshim. If Levi's not around, you give it to Levi's yorshim. Where it says, what are they arguing about? Lema b'hakam iflika. This is what they're arguing about. The Mar Sovar, one opinion holds, the Tanakh says that you go and give it to the Yorshim of Levi, holech kischi. When Shimon went and took it from Reuven, it was essentially zochet on behalf of Levi. Therefore, if Levi's not around, he gives it to Levi's Yorshim. The other opinion, however, Umar Sovar, the opinion said you bring it back to Reuven, holech lav kischi. He said that Shimon wasn't really koned on behalf of Levi, and therefore, if Levi's not around, he doesn't have an opportunity to do the shlichus. He doesn't give it to Levi's Yorshim. He goes and returns it to Reuven. So let us say that's what they're arguing about. But along comes Amar Rav Abba Bar Mamel. Rav Abba Bar Mamel tells us no. In fact, the Kulei Alma, both of these opinions hold Holech Lab Kisli. Shimon never really acquired it on behalf of Levi. And therefore, they don't automatically give it to Levi's Yarshim. Now, why did one opinion say you do give it to Levi's Yarshim? The Lokasha over here, one opinion says Ha Bibari. We're dealing over here with a person who was healthy. Reuven, the Mishaleach, was a healthy person, and therefore, when you're dealing with a healthy person, it doesn't automatically become acquired by the person that he's sending it to, because we said, holech lav kisri, so therefore, it has to be returned to Reuven. But when you're dealing with Reuven being a Shliv Meira, the other brisa that says, no, you give it to Levi's Yarshim, that's because Shliv Meira's Matona is kiksuvim umisurim dami, and therefore, ha b'shliv Meira, so therefore, it is if it was already acquired by Levi, and as a result, then if Levi's not around, then you have to give it to Levi's Yarshim. So that's the first way to reconcile these two seemingly different approaches, the opinion that it goes to Reuven and the opinion that it goes to Levi's Yorshin. But the Gemara says there's another way to resolve this. Rav Zvira Amar, Ha V'Ha B'Shliv Meira. Both the brises, the one that says that it goes to Levi's Yorshim, and the one that says it goes to Reuven, both of them, Ha V'Ha B'Shliv Meira. Both of them are talking about where Reuven was a Shliv Meira. It should be Kiksuvim M'Sum Dami. So then seemingly both of them should have said that it goes to Levi's Yorshim. No. Ha D'Isil M'Kabel B'Shas Matan Mos. That is when Levi was alive at the time that it was given to Shimon. If Levi was alive at the time it gives to Shimon, so then Shimon can acquire it on behalf of Levi. Therefore, If now, subsequently, Levi dies, it goes to Levi's Yorshin. However, the other Brisa, it says, no, you return it to Reuven. That's when Levi wasn't alive at the time that Reuven gave it to Shimon. If Levi's not alive at the time that Reuven gave it to Shimon, so then he couldn't be mezakit on behalf of Levi, even if it's a matna shlimira. So therefore, that's how you reconcile the two Brises, one that says it goes to Levi's Yorshin, one that says it goes to Reuven. There's another way to reconcile it. Rapapa Amar, whenever you have Rapapa Amar as opposed to Amar Rapapa, it's not necessarily mutually exclusive. It's not saying that Rav Zizi's answer is wrong. It's not saying that Rav Abba Bamamel's teretz is wrong. These are alternative ways to reconcile the two Brises. So Rav Papa has another way. Rav Papa Amar, you could be talking that both of them are with Reuven being a Bari, Hav the Bari, and how do you reconcile the Brise that says you return it to Reuven with the Brise that says you give it to Levi's Yarshim? It depends. Ha de meis mekabel b'chayi nosin. We're dealing here with Levi passing away while Reuven was still alive. And since this is a matnas bari, so it only goes through if Levi is alive. If Levi dies before he received it, obviously, and Reuven is still alive and he's a bari, so then it goes back to Reuven. But the Brisa, it says that it goes to Levi's Yarshim, Hodemis Nosein B'chayim Makaba. That's when Reuven dies prior to Levi's death. And therefore, it no longer is in Reuven's possession, so to say. It was given over to Levi, even though it's a matnas bari, since Reuven isn't alive, so now it really belongs to Levi. So Hod Demis no sein b'chayi b'kabel, so Reuven dies while Levi was still alive, and then if Levi subsequently dies, it already belongs, so to say, to Levi, and therefore goes to Levi's Yarshim. So it's a third way to reconcile these two seemingly contradictory prices. Now the Gemara brings down a long brisa with as many different opinions as to what is the halacha in regards to holech kisri, is it Mizake or not. If you tell the person, go and acquire this for so-and-so, is this, in fact, acquired by so-and-so or not? So the Gemara says, Lemor, let us say that this Holech Kisri is, in fact, the Machlokes Tanoim. Holech Kisri Tanoihi. And we're going to have multiple opinions now. The first one is as follows. The Tanoim, we learn the following brisa. Holech Mono Leploni. If Reuven says to Shimon, go take this money and go and give it to Levi. So in that situation, the Holach Ubiksho Velomenso, he went to look for Levi. He couldn't find Levi. Levi had died. Now, the first opinion says you go and bring it back to Reuven. Obviously, this opinion seems to not say that Holech is Kisri. This opinion says Holech lav Kisri dami, and therefore you give it back to Reuven and you don't give it to Levi's Yorshim. But Meis Mishalayach, if the person who sent the money, Reuven, passes away, so then Rav Nosson v'Rav Yaakov Amru, Yachzru l'Yorshim Mishalayach. Then you go give it to the Yorshim of Levi, because Reuven had passed away first, and therefore it is if it is belonging to Levi, because Holech Kisri, and therefore in that situation, Levi's Yorshim, if Levi died, Levi's Yorshim would get it. The Brisa continues and says, V'yesh Omrim, but there is another opinion. This Yesh Omrim says that it goes L'Yorshim Ish Nishtal Chulo, that it goes to the Yorshim, it goes back to Reuven's Yorshim in that situation. Because we do not say Holech Kisri, and therefore it still belongs to Reuven. Reuven Nebuch is dead, so it goes to Reuven's Yorshim. Then we bring down another opinion. Rav Yehuda HaNasi Rebbe, the great Rav Yehuda HaNasi, said over Amma Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, who said it over Shama Mishum Rabbi Meir, Mitzvah L'Kayim Dibre Meis. He adds an additional idea to this, that Reuven had wanted it to go to Levi. So therefore, even though technically there wasn't a Zechiah, but there's a mitzvah to do what the mace wanted, since Reuven died, and he did want it to go to Levi. So, Mestama, if Levi's not around, he would like it to go to Levi's Yorshim. And then we have the opinion of the Chachamim, since we're not sure, does it belong to Reuven or does it belong to Levi? So split it. When you have Momen Amotel B'Safik, so Yachloku, you go and split it, because we're not sure who it should go to. And then we have the last opinion, the Kan Amru, Kol Ma'ashe Yirtze Shaliach Yaseh. This is what's called Shudid the Daini normally, that the Shaliach has to make his best estimation what Reuven would have wanted. We don't have a halacha that says clearly it should go to Reuven or it should go to Levi. In this situation, you follow what you think is the best thing for that money, where you think it would have been most appropriate for it to go. So Kol Ma'ashe Yirtze Shaliach, whatever the Shaliach thinks is the most appropriate thing to do with the money, Yaseh, that's what he should do. Now, Amar Rabbi Shimon HaNasi, Rabbi Shimon HaNasi said, tomorrow and tomorrow's Shia will ask us, who is this Rav Shimon HaNasi? It's not a familiar name for us. We know it's Rav Yehuda HaNasi, for example, but we don't know who Rav Shimon HaNasi is. In any event, Rabbi Shimon HaNasi says, Al Yodi, my experience, Hoya Maisei, there once was such a Maisei Shaya of Amru. And the Chachamim said, Yachzru L'Yorshim Mishalech, that you give the money back to Reuven's Yorshim. When Reuven died, he said, that's what you should do. Now, why did each one of these opinions say what they did? So we have a lot of opinions, let's explain them. So the Gemara wants to first start off and say, my lav b'hokim ifligi, the machlokis is that the Tanakama Savar holech lav kisri. When you go and give it, it doesn't really belong to Levi, therefore if Levi dies, you go and return it back to Reuven. On the other hand, Rabbi Nosson Rabbi Yaakov Nami holech lav kisri, they also agree that holech lav kisri, when you gave it over
to Shimon, he doesn't acquire it on behalf of Levi. However, if Afon got the miss, this is true. Even if Reuven died, you still then have to go give it back to Reuven's Yoshim. Lo amrina mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. And why do we do that? Because we do not say what a future opinion says, and that is you're supposed to be mekayim the words of the meis. And the meis had wanted it to go to Levi, so we say, no, we don't follow that in this situation. The next opinion was the Yesh Omrim. The Yesh Omrim holech kischi. They hold that you do say that the Shaliach acquired it on behalf of Levi, and therefore that's why the Yesh Omrim say, you go and give it to the person who it was originally intended to be given to, which is Levi. And Levi's not around, so you give it to Levi's Yoshim, because holech kischi, Shimon had acquired it on behalf of Levi, I Nebuch, then Levi subsequently died, so you give it to Levi's Yoshim. The Gemara then brings down the next opinion, Rav Yehuda Nasi, who said it over, Mishum, Omer Mishum, Rabbi Yaakov, who said it over, Shomer Mishum, Rabbi Meir, Holech Lav Kisri. You do not say that Shimon acquired on behalf of Levi, and therefore she belonged to Reuven. However, Mihu, Hecho Demis. However, if in fact Reuven died, so then we have this idea, Amrina, Mitzu, Lekayim, Divrei Meis. He didn't want it to go to Yoshim, he wanted it to go to Levi. So therefore, since he's not around to go give it back to him, so now he's a Meis. The idea is that you should do what the mace wanted. The mace did want Levi to get it, so therefore, even though there wasn't a Kenyan, it wasn't the Zechi on Shimon's behalf of Levi, but since Reuven died, we want to follow and honor his opinion, and Amrina mitzvah l'kayim divrei mace. The Chacham say, we're not clear. We don't know which one is which, and therefore, in this situation, maybe it belongs to Reuven, maybe it belongs to Levi, so go split it. Whenever you have money that is unclear who it belongs to, so you give it back to both parties. You split it as best as you possibly can. The next opinion was Vikan Omru. So that opinion said that you do what we call Shuda the Daini. Call me Shayirtsa Shaliach Yasa. Why? Because Shuda Odik, to make an estimation, as Rashi points out, you're trying to figure out what Reuven would have wanted. Was Reuven a generous person? So Mustam, he wanted Levi's Yoshim to get it. If he was a stingy person, well, I had to give it to Levi, but I don't want to give it to Levi's Yoshim. I really wanted to only give it to Levi. So you do what we call an estimation, an evaluation. Shuda Odik. And it's best to make that estimation. Shimon Mustam knows Reuven's intentions the best. He was the one that got the money from Reuven. Mustam, he knows. And therefore, he should be the one to go make the estimation. We don't split it. We say, whatever Shimon you think Reuven would have wanted, that's what we do. And then finally, we have the opinion of Shimon Anasi. Shimon Anasi says, Maisa osel yashmin, and there once was such a Maisa Shahaya, and what did they tell him to do? You leave the money where it was. The Chazaka was that it belonged to Reuven, so therefore, since we don't know what to do, so you leave the money where it was, like we had actually heard from Reb Nosson and Reb Yaakov, that you go and return it to Reuven, because we don't say Holech Kisri, so Shimon Mistama did not acquire it on behalf of Levi. We're not sure, did Reuven want to do this? No, bottom line is, you go give it back to Reuven, because we do not say that we follow the desires of the sender. We don't say Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Meis in this situation, when it's a suffix, we don't know what to do, so leave things the way that they were. So the Gemara says, is this correct? Gemara says, no, maybe not. Maybe, in fact, Bibari, if you're dealing with Reuven being healthy, in fact, there is no machlokas between any of these opinions, because they all say that Holech is Lab Kisri, therefore belongs to Reuven. When he's Bibari, so then if you didn't have Levi to give it to, so then you return it back to Reuven. Maybe everybody agrees to that. So then why is there a machlokas so many different opinions in this brisa? Och b'yaskini, you know, we're talking about b'shchiv mira. We're dealing over here with Reuven, with a sick person, whom we normally say that his words are kiksuvim u'misurim dami. So if you're dealing with a shchiv mira, so what's the machlokas? This goes u'beplukso de Rabbi Elazar v'Rabbanon k'miflegi. And they're all arguing with when the opinion of the following machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and Rabbanon. Where is this machlokas? So this is a Mishnah in Bava Basra. The end of Bava Basra tells us that nan hamechalek nechosov al piv. If a person divides up his property, in other words, he wants to give instructions what to do with his properties, that he's not necessarily a shchiv mira. Rabbi Elazar says, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Echad Bari, whether he's a healthy person, Echad Besukot, or whether he is a Shchiv Meira, doesn't make any difference. Such a verbal declaration is not going to be acceptable. Without making a kinyan, he holds that an oral verbal declaration is not going to be able to go and transfer over those properties that he's saying, I want them to be transferred over to Reuven, I want them to be transferred over to Shimon. It doesn't work. And he holds so much so that this is even true for a Shchiv Meira. We do not say, according to Rabbi Elazar, Kiksuvim u'mesurim dami. There's no difference between a Bari and a Masukin, according to Rabbi Elazar. Nechosim sheish lamachrayis. Therefore, if it's a type of property that has achrayis, in other words, this would be karka or a house, so you have to do a valid kinyan. Nickname b'kesef u'bishtar b'chazok. You have to do one of the valid ways of making a kinyan, either by transfer of money, or by a shtar, or by chazok. These are the valid kinyanim for
a property or for a house, as Rashi, the bottom Rashi tells us here, this is the way you have to make a kinyan. You have to make a valid kinyan, whether it's a bari or a shechmira. And this is true, min habari v'shechmira, according to Rabbi Elazar. And if you don't do this, ilava knihu, b'hachi lo miknu. If you don't do this, even for the shechmira, he holds it's not kesuvim mesuvim dami. Furthermore, if you want to give over property, she'ein lemachrayis, for example, you're giving him metaltalin, you're giving him over movable property, you want to give him a vessel. So, ein niknun ela b'mashicha. You have to do a kinyan mashicha. You have to do hagbah, you have to do mashicha, you have to do some sort of a valid kinyan that is good for metaltalin. Now, that's the opinion of Elazar. V'chachamim omrim, they disagree. They say, elu ve'elu niknun b'yamira. They hold that both the karka, the nechasim she'esh lemachrayis, as well as the Metaltalin, Dvarim She'en Lai Machrayis, both of them can be given over with just an oral declaration. However, this only applies for a Shchiv Meirah, because we say only by Shchiv Meirah do these oral declarations work, because we say, in order to make sure that the sick person doesn't get agitated and Chas V'Shalom die any faster, so we say only for the sick person, for the Shchiv Meirah, Kiksuvim U'Misurim Dami. But for the Bari, you have to make a valid Kinyan, or else it doesn't work. So that's the Machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chacham, as to whether we do hold that there's a difference for a Shchiv Meirah. And the Chacham then said to Rabbi Elazar, we'll show you that we're right, because Maisa, there once was a Maisa Shahaya, Be'imon with the mother, Shel b'nei Rochel with certain people, Shahai saw Chola, she was in fact sick, and the Omer, and she said, a verbal declaration, Tinasin, please give over these properties, which properties? So we turn to Tesvava Ben Aleph. Kivinasi, Rashi says this is a certain type of jewelry, Noshka is a foreign language word, a certain type of jewelry. So she said, give over this Kivinasi, this type of jewelry, Libiti, to my daughter. Now, this was quite an expensive item. Vehi, bishneim also money. It was worth quite a lot of money. It was worth 12 or so mana. 12 mana, which a mana is 100 zuz, so it's worth a lot of money. And then, umesa, she died. So all she did was make an oral declaration. She did not do any sort of a kinyan. So, vikimu chacham mizdare. And in fact, the mother of these b'nei rochel, her verbal declaration was good. She was obviously a shechiv meirah because she died shortly afterwards. So here we see, v'kimu chacham mizdareh, it must be that we're right. So why would they have been mekayim her words if we weren't correct in saying that a shchiv meirah kiksuvim u'misurim dami? So Rabbi Elazar responsibly says, no, you're wrong. Amar lahem, b'nei rochel, you're talking about this family, b'nei rochel, tikbirein imam. This woman, unfortunately, was not a very good woman, and her children were not very good children, the boys. And that's why Rashi says, tikbirein imam, chlolohi. This is a cursed kolomar. Lo yalu alev. Don't even think for a second. Lo yisku bebeis medrash l'raya. Don't think that this is a raya. L'fishir rishayim hoyu. Their sons over here were rishayim. Shum kaimim kotsim mekerim. They did various isurim in regards to kilaya karim, and that's why they canceled them. But that's not the din. Rabbi Elazar says you can't go bring me any raya from the bnei rochel. So therefore, that's not a proof. Now, Tana Kama, we want to now suggest that the Tana Kama of the previous Braisa, he holds Rabbi Elazar, who says that the words of even a Shchiv Meirah are not to be Kiksuvim Mesurim Dami, and have the same exact halacha as a Bari person, a healthy person, and therefore we do not say that it automatically is Kiksuvim Mesurim Dami. Ya'achsru L'Meshaleach, that it goes back to Ruvain, is because we do not say that Kiksuvim Mesurim Dami, even for a Shchiv Meirah, according to Rabbi Elazar. And similarly, Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yaakov, Nami, Rabbi Elazar, they also hold like Rabbi Elazar that even Matnas Shchiv Meirah is not Kiksuv Mesurim Damin, and therefore, Afo Gav Demis, even though Reuven died, Lo Amrinu, Mitzvah L'Kayim Divrei Mase, and they don't hold that you should be Mekayim, what he maybe intended, that it should go to Levi, and therefore, Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yaakov both say that you return it to Reuven. Now, the Yesh Omrim had said, Ki Rabbanan, they hold like the Rabbanan, that Divrei Shchiv Meirah, Kiksuvim Mesurim Damin, and therefore, you go and give it to Levi. If Levi's not around, you go give it to Levi's Yorshu. Again, Levi had acquired it as soon as it was said, verbal declaration, and therefore when Levi acquires it, so then if he subsequently dies, it's part of his Yerusha. Then we have the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who said it over Mishum, ultimately in the name of Rabbi Meir. He holds also Rabbi Elazar that it is not Kiksuvim Mesurim Dami. However, he adds, Mihu, nevertheless, even though it's not Kiksuvim Mesurim Dami, Hecho Demis, when Reuven died, Amrina, we say Mitzvah, it is something that we should positively do, L'kayim Divrei Ameis. So therefore, we know what Reuven wanted. He did want it to go to Levi, and Mistam, he wanted to go to Levi's Yoshim if Levi's not around. The next opinion was the Chacham, and the Chacham Amim Yachloku. They say, we don't know. Misafkalu, we don't know. Do we pass it like Rabbi Elazar, or do we pass it like the Chacham? And in this situation, Mamun Hamutu Basafik, you go and split it. The next opinion was Vikan Omru. We said that he should do Shuda the Daini. Why is that? Because Shuda Atif, since we don't know what to do, we're not sure what the halacha is, so then we leave it up to the Shaliach. We leave it up to the Shimon. In this situation, he would Mustama know what best Reuven wanted. Does Reuven want it to go to his Yarshim, or would he want it to go to Levi's Yarshim? And we leave it up to him. And the final opinion, Reb Shimon Anasi, what was that? Maisa also liyashmeina, that he's coming to tell us that there once was such a Maisa Shoya. And in fact, they paskin like Rav Nosson and Rav Yaakov, that we hold like Rabbi Elazar, and there is no mitzvah to be Makayim Divrei Hameis. Now the Gemara asks, who was this Rosh Hashanah Nasi? I thought we'd get to it in tomorrow's shiur, but let's already finish off to the end of the parak. Ibailu, they asked the following shiloh, Rabbi Shimon Anasi, who is this Rosh Hashanah Nasi? We don't know. We never heard of such a person. As Tosus points out in Dira Maso, Odekamer, he says, the Vishalomatsinu Shaya Nasi. So we don't know of any such person. So the Gemara asks, Nasi, who was there really such a person, Rosh Hashanah Nasi? Or alternatively, O Mishmei the Nasi Kamer. He was actually saying it over in the name of the Nasi. And it was Rabbi Shimon Omer B'shem Anasi. So the Gemara says, Tashma, bring your raya. The Amar of Yosef, the Yosef tells us, Halacha ki Rabbi Shimon Hanasi. It does say b'feirush that there was such a Tana by the name of Rabbi Shimon Hanasi. Gemara says, how does that help us at all? V'adayin tibalo. We have the same exact question. When Rav Yosef had said the halacha is like Rav Shimon HaNasi, did he mean Nasi Hu, that it was really Rav Shimon HaNasi? Or again, the same question, Odekamah Mishmei the Nasi, or did Rabbi Shimon say it over the name of the Nasi? How does this help us? It doesn't give us the answer to our question. Again, we're not familiar with the person who was Rabbi Shimon HaNasi. Shmuel says, take it, you're right, we don't know, and we have to leave this unanswered. Now, Gemara continues, Gufa, we just said, Amar Yosef, Halachi, Rav Shimon HaNasi. We pass in like with this opinion of Rav Shimon HaNasi. Gemara says, wait a second, Vokai Malon, Divri Shchimi Rach, Kiksuvim, Umekasurim, Ukimisurim, Domu. Wait a second, the generally established halacha is that we do not paskin like Rabbi Elazar, that we in fact paskin that the words of a shchivimba, in order to make sure that he doesn't die any earlier because of agitation, that his words aren't being carried out, so we say that the verbal declaration of a shchivimba normally is acceptable, kik suvin, as if it was actually signed and written off and mesurin and actually handed over. So how can you tell us that we paskin Shimon HaNasi, who seems to say that no, we paskin like Rabbi Elazar? So Gemara says, Rabbi Yosef Moki Lo Bibari, because Rabbi Yosef is talking about that we follow the opinion of Rabbi Elazar by a bari, a healthy person. The word says, if that's what you're telling me is the opinion of Yosef, but he said elsewhere, but Shimon HaNasi had said that it goes to the, when Reuven dies, it goes back to Reuven's Yarshim. The Kaimalon, but what about the other halacha that we normally say, Mitzvah L'Kaim Divrei Ameis, that if Reuven wanted it to go to Levi or Levi's Yarshim, if he died, so then what about that then? We normally paskin like this idea that Mitzvah L'Kaim Divrei Ameis. So how can you tell me that Yosef says it goes back to Reuven's inheritors? So Gemara says, to write, to me, you have to go change that around. Yahzu l'mishaleach. So Rav Shimon HaNasi's actual opinion is, for Rabari, that gave it over to Shimon, and then Nebuch, he passed away, so there is a mitzvah l'kayim divrei hameis, and therefore, it didn't mean to give it to the Yarshim of Reuven, but Rav Shimon HaNasi really said was that you give it to the Yarshim of Levi. With this, we conclude, Hadron Lecha Meviget, Hadron Lecha Meviget, Hadron Lecha Meviget. We finish off the first beautiful parak in Gittin. Mitzvah Shem, tomorrow we'll start the second parak. Have a great day.